Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So the benefit of the recorder, that we've just watched a video on a guy called Nick Wallander, who is a professional tightrope walker and a believer in Jesus. You can watch it yourself on YouTube, just place that name in, Nick Wallander. And this man was 1,500 feet above the river at the Grand Canyon. What do you think about that? Do you think that's impressive? Or do you think it's completely nuts? But he's a believer in Jesus, and he was walking on a 2-inch steel wire with no ropes and with no safety netting. I think that's pretty impressive for that distance. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. I could not do that. Just pray with me. Father God, we want to thank you for your goodness and your love, that you are with us, you hear us. Lord God, you are the answer. You're the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that today you would open our eyes and our ears to see your truth. Come, Lord God, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so did you notice, I'll just call him Nick or Mr. Wallander, but I'll call him Nick. Did you notice, okay, the tightrope walker, did you notice where his eyes were? Were they on the wire? Were they looking around himself, or were they looking straight ahead? That's right, I'm glad you noticed that. His eyes were looking straight ahead at the destination. Mm-hmm. And on his journey, he had many challenges, didn't he? Okay, concentration would be probably number one, to keep his concentration. But as I think Deb said, the wind was shocking. Oh my word, can you imagine? The wind when you're on a 2-inch wire with about 7 to 1,500 feet drop below you. It's just crazy, isn't it? Then the other challenge he had was the wire. That was being held on both sides, trying to keep it as still as possible, did start to bounce at one point, right? So can you imagine, you're walking on a wire so high up with the wind blowing and the wire starts to bounce and there's not a lot you can do about it. How would you feel? A little nervous maybe? Well, he kept his concentration. And what was his hope? What was Mr. Wallander's hope? Well, I believe it was not only to stay alive, but it was to get to the other side of the ravine on that thin wire without falling off. I believe that was his hope. His purpose was to overcome his fear and the seemingly impossible. Because I don't think there's anyone in this room who would even attempt that. I think we would have to be a little bit to even, I wouldn't even go there at all. I'd look over the edge and that would be as far as I would go. But this image is likened, or can be likened, to our lives, okay? Life can be like that tightrope. I don't know if you've noticed up to now, I'm a little over 50, it's hard to tell, but I'm a little over 50, and life can be like a tightrope. It's about balance, isn't it? So if you work too hard, and I've seen this many, many times, if you work too hard, you will probably suffer stress, which may lead to all sorts of illnesses. If you work too little, if you're lazy, you probably won't have enough money or things that you need for life. If you play too hard, drink too hard, you will get sick. If you play too little and it's all about work, you'll probably ultimately become depressed. So it's wisdom, isn't it? We need wisdom for life. We need to ask what life is all about. Have you ever asked your question? Have you ever questioned that? What is life all about? You know, sometimes I look around this town and I go to Manchester, you see the hundreds and hundreds of people, and you think, what is life really all about? You ever think about that? It's amazing, isn't it? Because sometimes we can be all about the tasks of life and we forget really the bigger picture. What is life really all about? Because we need a vision for the future. Otherwise, we're walking like dummies, okay? Aren't we? Okay? A life without purpose. So another word for this vision for life can be called hope, okay? Now, if you want to put the next one up, the Cambridge Dictionary definition of hope. I love this, actually, okay? So you want to read this with me? It says, hope is to want something to happen or to be true and usually to have a good reason to think it might. Just think about that for a minute. So it's to want something to happen or to be true, and usually to have a good reason to think it might. So let's go back to the tightrope walker. Nick hoped and believed he could achieve his dangerous act because he trained for years. If you look on YouTube, he does this as a full-time job. The guy's a nutcase, even though he believes in Jesus. He walks across high buildings in New York, and this is what he does. This is his buzz in life, okay? And he makes a lot of money out of it. Amazing. But his hope was to get to the other side, but he believed it could happen because of his training, his fitness, and his concentration. He prepared carefully. And in life, for all of us, we need hope, but there are some things we are hoping for that sometimes get more importance than they should do. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? Sometimes we give some things more importance, and sometimes they push in on the most important thing and they suffocate it, okay? So I'm going to look at three examples of this in this talk today on hope. And first one would be, we all need hope. If you want to put, yes, thanks, Sonia. Jesus's hope and our true hope. So first of all, we're going to look at, we all need hope for living. What was Jesus's hope? And then our true hope, okay? So let's first of all have a look at, we all need hope. So, to take myself, something basic would be, I hope to sell the thousands of rugs I've just had delivered to my unit. I hope to sell them so that I can pay off a little bit of debt and also provide for my family, that I can enjoy life and I can give some money away. That would be my one of my hopes. It's not the top hope, but it's certainly an important hope at the moment. I have good reason to believe that I can do this, because after so many years selling rugs, so you wouldn't believe it, I actually believe I've purchased correctly, okay? And I've got lots of experience in that. So I hope that this will take place and then that will be the outcome. I also hope on a higher level that the transition of CCM Gorton from this building to the next and from me to Tim will be well oiled and really anointed and go so successfully. And I believe I put my faith behind that and believe that that will be the case. Why? Because we as leaders have prayed intently about this. We've thought about this. We've considered this before the Lord. And there's been many shiftings behind the scenes in all of the sites. And we believe God is in that, and so we believe God is going to do great things. So our hope is, as we look ahead to the future, this moving around is all in God's will, and it's very exciting. So what about yourselves? Let's make this personal. Have a think for a minute. What are your hopes? Right now, if I was to ask you, what would your hopes be for 2020? So we're in December. Can you believe it? Not long now, we're going to be in 2020. I remember when we turned into 2000. I remember that. I had a cold that day. I remember on New Year's Eve, I had a cold, a really bad cold. I've got a photograph, actually, with the red marks around my nose. It's really pleasant. But that was 2000. That was 20 years ago. That's crazy. But we're heading into 2020. What are your hopes? Promotion? Could be. A different job. Completely different job, maybe. It could be better health, which is a massive hope maybe you have. It might be that your children succeed and prosper in school or in college. It might be that you find a partner in 2020. It might be you get a new house in 2020. It might be that your marriage improves in 2020. There's so many hopes for all of us different in this room. And many of these good things can fill our minds and even drive us on a daily basis and even take our attention and overwhelm us from the most important hope that we will look at. See, when one goal or hope from this world overwhelms us, it may swamp us and may cause us to stumble. So if you think about the wind for Nick Wallander, on the top of that tightrope, the wind as his feet went one in front of the other, it was a wind which was likely to knock him off. It was a movement of that tightrope that was likely to make him unstable. And that's likened to us in our daily life. If we lose our concentration on the one I'm going to talk to you about in a moment, we're likely to get into a dangerous situation. And I've seen this time and again with many of my friends and even myself, not even myself, myself, right? Things can come and they can cause us to stumble. They can cause us to be unstable in life. Did you notice he had a huge pole? Yeah, which went from left to right frighteningly as he's on that tightrope. That pole there is, I don't know how long it is, about 40 feet. All to help him to balance. Isn't that interesting? This is what we need for life. But these things can come along and cause excessive stress, excessive worry, fear of failure. And what happens when we start to become dissatisfied with life? When the things that we put up as number one actually fail us, sometimes what happens is we turn to drink. Okay, very, very common. We turn to drugs, and there are many, many drugs. Let's not just think about the obvious drugs. There are many drugs in this world, aren't there? Addictions, let's use that word, which causes just for a small time to feel better about maybe ourselves or the situation, but sure enough, the next day we need more of that thing to cover up our pain. So common. There's so many, isn't there? There's so many. Now, Christmas is an odd time. If you want to put that classic Christmas picture up, will that be your front room at Christmas?
No.
It won't be ours. Christmas is an odd time. I find it an odd time, okay? My girls think I'm a little bit like Scrooge because I moan so much, but I think Christmas is an odd time, okay? See, society pushes us and tells us that the goal or hope should be for all of us to have a room, maybe looking like that, on Christmas Day that's beautifully decorated with a really big tree and lots of gifts, to have lots of your family around you, lots of the finest food, and that is what everyone should reach and go for. But actually, even in this country, that's actually quite rare, because families are broken, you know? Money isn't it's not spread around equally. Lots of people just do not have the ability to buy lots of presents for each other. And so that is actually a dream for many, many people in the society we live in. It can be, and it's been, the statistics have been taken, that actually Christmas is a high time for suicide. Can you believe that? How sad is that? That suicide rises at Christmas. That people get into more debt at Christmas. Why? Because they are trying to achieve this and say, this is what I must have. And as they are on that tightrope of life, their spending goes out of the window and it causes them to stumble. Why? Because their eyes are on something which is just, for most people, unattainable. Yeah? What is Christmas all about?
Jesus.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, that's right. But we find that we cannot match up to the standard that the world puts on us through adverts and all sorts of pressure. We've also got in 2020, you might not know this, I'll let you into the secret, but we've got something called Brexit coming up in 2020. Yes, brings great joy, doesn't it? And up to now, what has happened with this amazing thing is it's caused huge uncertainty in this country and in the whole of Europe. It's caused an earthquake to take place, really. There's uncertainty in the financial markets. The markets are up and down, mostly down for the pound. There's great disunity among the political parties. I've never seen, I don't think, such disunity in politics in the UK. It threatens huge change and huge upheaval. And this is like another wind on that tightrope that we will probably all feel whenever, and if we do, if we leave the European Union. It's going to be a wind which affects all of us, some more than others, but it will affect us. What will we do when we find out how that individually affects us? Will we stumble off that tightrope? Or will we continue to be like Nick Wallander and keep our eyes straight forward? Yeah? Just think about Nick Wallander again. There he is, okay? Again, we notice his eyes were straight ahead. This was the reason that he was successful. He didn't allow the elements around him, as discussed, the elements around him, the wind and all sorts of other things, even the view. He didn't allow those things to take him off his purpose and goal, okay? His first focus was his destination. So, what we really need then is someone like us, a human, okay? Someone who's been through a really tough test. Tougher maybe than we can bear. I mean, I couldn't bear what Nick was doing, but someone who had gone through an even tougher test, the toughest test, to see what they did, okay? And obviously, we're going to look at Jesus, because this man, he was the one who went through the toughest test and came through the other side. Now, how did Jesus cope with his trial, his tightrope, as it were? Okay, so I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. I think, Cheryl, you've got it. I've picked it already out in your Bible. Do you remember? So you just need to pick that up and open it up, and it's right there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Okay, listen to these words. In fact, can we read them? I think it's good to read it together. All right, are your marks? Get set. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, for the joy that was set before him. Let's just wait there. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't that wonderful? What does it say? It says, fixing whose eyes? Ours on Jesus. Why? Because he is the author. An author is someone who writes a book, writes it, and knows the start and the finish. Isn't that good? Our Jesus, our Savior, knows the beginning. He is the beginning and the end. I think that's highly comforting. Don't you? To be with someone who knows what's going to happen, what's been, and what's coming up. And is unmoved, like Nick Wallander on that tightrope. He's unmoved. He doesn't fall off the tightrope. He's been through the fire and has come out the other side, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Isn't that wonderful? And he can take us through as well, with him, in him. He's blazed the trail that we should follow for the joy that was set before him. That's an interesting set of words, isn't it?
Yep.
For the joy that was set before Jesus. What was that joy that was set before Jesus? I believe it was his church, his bride. He saw, before he went to the cross, he saw his bride perfect. His worldwide body of people, chosen since the foundation of the world, spotless. Perfect. And his marriage supper with that. And it caused him to say that there, that destination across that canyon of pain that I'm just about to suffer, and the Father turning his face away, that destination is worth it. It's worth me going through the fire for my bride. To win my bride, my pure and spotless bride. He saw your faces when he started on that journey. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that incredible to think that Jesus's view, his eyesight, just like Nick Wallander's was on his destination, Jesus's, his eyesight was on his Father, but on his bride as well. Isn't that great? So Jesus's tightrope and goal was a life of loving his Father. Read the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of Ron. That's in the Apocrypha. And read the, goodness me. Crazy. Anyway, and it will display Jesus's life in the Gospel of John. Okay? Yeah. There's always one in one of my preaches where I get the word wrong, isn't it? It's part of the fun. Anyway, his ultimate goal was giving his life as a ransom for many. And there was much wind and unsafe footing in Jesus' life. Once he went to, they pushed him or forced him to the top of a mountain after he had started his ministry, and were going to push him off. Read it in Matthew. And he walked out of the crowd and walked away. Amazing. You can see all of these dangers that Jesus suffered in his ministry. Such winds and movement of that wire. The wind and the unsafe footing from the enemy as well. Look at the temptation of Jesus to take him off that mission. Yeah? Jesus spoke the word of God back to him and rebuked him at every turn. See, we have an enemy. I'm sure you know we have an enemy in this world who is against us and wants to take us off. He wants to shift our vision off our Saviour. We've got to keep our vision straight like Nick Wallander, otherwise we will fall. Guaranteed. So how did Jesus live his life? His eyes were fixed on his Father's will, which led him to the cross. All of the other things of life were secondary, and he responded to them in ways which, well, he used his vision as an overriding thing. His vision was his Father. Let's just look at John chapter 6, verse 38. Wonderful verse of scripture. For I have come down, Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Isn't that great? That was his vision, was to do the will of the Father. And so he would go off into the mountain in lonely places, it says, and he would pray to the Father. And the Father would give him instructions, I believe, for the day or for what was coming. And he would do the Father's will. Isn't that great? Yes. This is what Jesus wants us to do. To go into our room, close the door, and speak to our Lord in heaven, in our hearts, and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? Isn't that great? It's just a picture for us again. So exciting. His hope from those Hebrews verses that we read, his hope was as he was doing the Father's will, he could see his bride ahead in hope. Perfected us with glorified bodies. No more pain, no more aches, no more diseases, no more sin. No more anger, no more fear. Wow, this is what drew Jesus to go right through the fire, right through that time of battering for him. Because he saw what was ahead and it was enough. He saw you, he saw me. Isn't that exciting? He looked ahead and that kept his balance all the way through that time on this earth and into Golgotha. So let's have a look at our true hope then. So we looked at Jesus's hope. That was Jesus's hope. So what's our true hope? What is this captivating vision that can take us through to the other side? Okay. We don't know how long we have on this earth, do we? We've all got differing amounts of time. None of us know. But we have to keep our vision right? What is it that's going to hold your balance this week up to Christmas and into 2020? What is that thing? Is it going to be your job and your motivation to become somebody? Or is it going to be your fixation on Jesus in an imbalanced world? See, anything else but Jesus as your captivating vision will blow us off the real destination, okay? Anything else but Jesus will be a tightrope wire which is moving really frighteningly, okay? Brexit is a prime example of how unreliable and uncertain this society is that we live in, okay? Even the whole of the European Union, we look at all those countries, there's some countries in desperate situations. Portugal is desperate. Italy is also wanting out. There is massive uncertainty. The winds of this world are blowing hugely, okay? Hugely. What is going to be your captivating vision? What's going to be your balance as we hit storms? Jesus spoke about this many times, didn't he? Building your house upon a rock, or are you going to build it on sand? He made it very, very clear. Anything else but Jesus will or is unstable. So our eyes need firstly to be fixed on Jesus and the things of his kingdom. Seek first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. There was a guy called Peter who was in the boat one day, and he was just with his friends, his disciples, not his disciples, the disciples. They were in the boat and they'd rowed a long way, and the wind suddenly came up as they do on the Sea of Galilee, and the winds came up, the waves came up, and these were professional fishermen, but they were nervous. This must have been a bad storm that was coming up here. And then suddenly they saw in the distance a ghost walking towards them on the water. It must have been frightening. But then Jesus makes himself known, and Peter says, wow, okay, if you are Jesus, call me to come out to you. And amazingly, we give Peter a lot of grief, but he did amazing. He actually got out, if it would be those initial moving his leg out onto that water in the wind and the rain and the storm, and he got out and he walked a few steps. Where did he start to fail? He looked around him and saw the wind and the waves, and then he started to sink and he said, Lord, save me. Do you remember? This is a picture for us too. His eyes were taken off his Saviour, weren't they? His eyes looked at his situation. His eyes looked at the business world or whatever it is for you. Yeah? Even your family. It's all unstable, but if we have Jesus as our captivating vision, everything else will come into its right place, and we can commit all those things to him. Peter looked at the elements of this world, which he was well acquainted with, but he was less acquainted with looking at Jesus. How acquainted are you with looking at Jesus on a day-to-day basis? Are your eyes falling upon the Word of God? And is the Word of God going into your heart, and so it sinks down and becomes one with you? That when you're in times of trouble, you can use the Word of God to help you. That scriptures, just a few words drop into your heart and you say, yes, that's the truth. I don't need to fear in this situation. Or if really bad situations come to you, do they knock you off course? Because you don't have an anchor. You can do something about that today. You can put in a Bible plan into your life, to even today, which can bring stability. So where is your vision today as a close? Where is your vision today as we go into 2020? I want my vision in 2020, and you know, we can make these things happen, you know? This isn't like, I wish. We can do this by discipline, okay? Where is your vision at this festive time? I want mine to be fully captivated by Jesus. Jesus the anchor. If you want to put that last slide up, Sonia, thanks. Jesus the anchor. The sure foundation. This is words he said about himself. He is the rock. He is the door. He is the unchanging one. And I'll close with these words of Corrie ten Boom, who was a woman of God in the time of the Second World War, who went through great trials. We've spoken about her before. These are the words that she said. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, okay, you don't really know how worthwhile an anchor is until you're in a storm, because it holds you fast. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. God is more than enough. Maybe you're going through a storm today. Maybe you're going through a storm today. Let's just close our eyes. Maybe life is a little bit too much for you at the moment. Maybe you've never taken Jesus as your captivating vision. Maybe you've never fixed your eyes upon him. Maybe you've heard about him, but you've never made him your number one. Maybe he's on the list. Maybe he's fifth, behind all sorts of concerns and worries about finances, about partners, about houses, where you're going to live. All these things are very important, but the one thing which is the most important, that brings true hope, and it's a hope that won't disappoint, is Jesus.